Hello and welcome into the Gotta Be Saints podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Gotta. Join me each week as I speak with future saints about being saints. Today's podcast is titled My Thoughts on Dating. This is part two of my conversation. If you were able to join for part one, I talked about my story, how I met my wife, and how we've happily been married for the last 11 or 12 months, depending on when this episode goes live. I also just spoke about the importance of having Christ-centered relationships, flirting to convert, how we should treat one another, red flags, yellow flags, are they out of my league, cohabitation, a lot of good stuff in that first episode. But I got more questions to answer here for part two. So thank you for joining. If you liked part one, share it with your friends. Thanks for joining us now for part two. If you haven't listened to part one yet, go ahead and click it and come back to this one. So I want to firstly shout out our sponsors. That's the Catholic Company. They are a one-stop shop for all your needs, from rosaries to books to clothing. The Catholic Company has it all. As we get ready for First Communion season, if you're looking for something in that realm for your favorite second grader, check out the Catholic Company. Use code GBS for 20% off your order. Our other sponsor is Good Catholic. Good Catholic is a multimedia company that provides wonderful series based around the faith. If you go to goodcatholic.com, you can check out all 30 of the series that they offer. If you use code GBS, you can get any one of those series for 20% off. That's code GBS for 20% off. I highly suggest checking out Good Catholic. Okay, now that we have announced our sponsors, we're going to get going here. All right, so our first question is from one of our followers on Instagram. They asked me, were you scared to enter into the vocation of marriage? I think this is a great question because I think in a certain sense, no, not at all. I remember the day that I got engaged. I'd been waiting for it for a couple months at that point. I was really, really excited. I'd been given the green light by my then girlfriend, my now wife. And within minutes of her telling me she was ready, I was already planning out how I was going to do it. And so I remember the day of, it was just a normal Saturday. I was in Washington, D.C. visiting her, and we decided we were going to go to morning mass. So my plan was to pick her up some coffee because every good day for Meredith starts with a cup of coffee. And every bad day starts with one too, but they're better when the coffee is flowing. And so we were driving towards the Basilica in Washington, D.C. And there was a lot of traffic because they had closed down certain roads. So my initial plan was to pray the rosary at the Marian Grotto there. But due to the situation that we were looking at, I knew that we needed to change gears and instead really pray the rosary then. So that's what we did. We prayed the rosary during the car. Then we got her coffee at Starbucks. And then we parked at the Basilica and went and sat in the Marian Grotto so she could drink her coffee. And then I asked her to marry me. I wasn't scared in that moment. I was excited. I didn't shake or anything. You know, that was, I know that's common for a lot of people, but I had a confidence that this woman was the person that I'm supposed to be with. And so it was because of that confidence that in that moment I found myself excited, ready. Now, that being said, that does not mean that I never have been scared. You know, it's a huge commitment to marry someone, to say, I want to spend the rest of my life, God willing, with you. So I think that's a real fear. And yet, he's God. He knows what he's about. And he's put that desire on your heart for a reason. So if you're in the position where you're considering asking someone to marry you, lean into that, especially if it's real. And you should know, if you feel good when you're with that person, if that person helps you to be your best self, then I say lean in all the more. Because if that person wants to help you get to heaven, then that is good. And that's something you don't want to lose out on. Of course, I think spiritual direction is helpful in this case. You know, if you just need help with your discernment, talk to your family and friends. But at some point, you kind of have to dive in. There's, you know, they talk about, what if I'm just not sure? Well, that's fair. But, you know, if you're not sure, then don't ask them to marry you, or don't say yes. Talk it out. Because when you get to that altar and you make that commitment, that's a sacramental commitment. That is a lifetime covenant that cannot and should not be broken. So just remember that. Okay, the next question is, how do you move from talking about engagement to actually getting engaged? So this is a good question. As I said in the last question, you know, I was excited when the time came where my wife told me that she was ready. Let's go back a few months before then. I remember we'd only been dating for a few months, but you know, my wife and I, nothing ever came slowly to us in terms of what we spoke about. We both knew each other well, and we both were very intentional within our dating. So from the get-go, we really did try to just have honest conversations. And I remember we were only dating for a few months then, but we were walking on the beach and we started talking about it in a real way. Now, I think our versions are different, my wife and I, and that's okay. We both, you know, I don't remember it perfectly at this point, and I'm sure she doesn't either, but, you know, we both had different feelings. I think in my head it was, well, when you know, you know, and I didn't see the point in laboring over a few more months at that point. And like I said, this is only a few months in. She was on board with the idea. She thought that, you know, eventually we were going to get married, but maybe she was okay with it taking a few more months. Well, what happened is it was July and we talked about it and I made the decision. I said, well, what do you think? Can I get a ring? And I don't know if she felt pressure or not. You'd have to ask her, but there was at least a percentage of her that was there. And she knew that I was looking forward to this. And so she said, yes. So I went to the ring store with her and we looked at a few options. She left. She was visiting me in Ohio. She went back to Washington, D.C., and I bought the ring, I think, the next day. Well, you know, at that point, we were just talking about engagement, but now we actually had the ring. Well, a few weeks later, we were having a conversation, or maybe just a few days later, and the conversation went simply, I'm not ready. And that was hard for me to hear, and yet it was necessary. Because she was honest with me. She was always honest with me. And it wasn't that her love for me had changed in that, you know, week between when we went to look at rings and after. It was that the reality was setting in a way that she knew herself and she knew, I would say yes to this man, but I'm not in the right place. I'm not in the right frame of mind. And so I think, how do you talk about it? You just have to be honest with one another. And then from the man's perspective, who, you know, needs to be the one initiating it, move on it. You know, if you're feeling confident, then move on it. If you're not ready to be engaged, don't talk about engagement. Don't say the things that you think they want to hear. That happens far too often. I had a friend they dated for over a year, and I remember when they ended up breaking up, they were talking to me and they just said, you know what? The worst part was this person would constantly affirm me in our relationship and say that they couldn't wait to marry me, when just months later, you know, everything came to a halt and they broke up. Prudence is key. Have prudence within this situation. If you are talking about engagement and you're just doing it for the fluff, for the, you know, to make the other person feel good, don't do that. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to them. And then when you have had that conversation, honestly, you know, then as the man, act on it. Go get the ring and get down on one knee. All right, now we're going to shift to a topic that is away from engagement, and instead get to that first date. Tips for a first date. All right, if you're a guy and you're just looking for tips for a first date, it's simple. Interested in learning more about your faith? I invite you to check out Good Catholic. They are a digital media brand focused on sharing and teaching about the faith. From podcasts to blogs to digital series, Good Catholic has it all. Use the code in the show notes to get 20% off your order at Good Catholic. Make them feel important. Do the right things. If you're driving them, if you're picking them up, open the door for them. Take them out to eat, or, you know, an activity is fine as well. I don't think what you do is as important as how you do it. Show them that you want to be there. Treat them with respect. Ask them questions. You know, any woman will tell you, if I've asked so many of my friends, how was the date? Usually a couple things come up. You know, it's like, oh, it was good. He was easy to talk to. All right. So there's a huge part of it. If you're going to go on a date, be able to have a conversation with them. Other things that I've heard from especially women, you know, when I ask them this question, how was the date? It was good. He was a gentleman. So be a gentleman. If you're looking for other things, you know, pay for the meal. If you're a guy, pay for the meal. Even if the restaurant is super expensive and it's out of your budget, then don't go to that restaurant. Go somewhere that fits within your means, and they will appreciate it. But I've had too many friends tell me how upset they were that the guy made them pay. Now, I'm not saying that that's a hard, fast rule, because I don't necessarily think it needs to be. But in most cases, it is just helpful to pay for it. It would never hurt if you paid for the meal. Let me say that. I don't think there are women who would not say yes to a second date because you didn't pay for them. I do know probably multiple women who feel that way. I think in most cases, that's not the case. I think if it goes well, the woman would be happy. And I also know from certain men that they get angry when they go on a date or two with a girl, and then the girl ends it and they kind of say, well, I just wasted all that money. If that's really how you feel as a guy, be honest with them. Say, hey, maybe I'll pay for dinner. You pay for drinks. You know, find a way to, in a certain estimate, you know, lessen the blow. But I think in most cases, you know, I'd say to those people who have that complaint, just pay for the meal. It's going to be okay. you know, part of dating is being able to love someone in that way. And women will feel appreciated and loved and cared for if you pay for the meal. But other tips for a first date from a woman's side, you know, things that men will say. They were attentive. They were funny. I laughed at them. You know, she was funny. She really looked beautiful. You know, appearance is important for both sides. She was open to my ideas and suggestions. You know, if a guy sends you a message after you've agreed to the date, and, you know, in those questions, he's asking you what you'd like to do, respond. And you can say it doesn't matter, but if there's five suggestions on there and one of them doesn't, you know, meet your criteria, don't say anything's fine, because then if he picks that one thing and you're angry, you've really done him a disservice for really trying. Also tips for a first date. I know it's 2023, so I bet for many of us, asking a person out is through Hinge or Tinder or Bumble or whatever, name that dating app, The League. And so for many people, it's probably through a message. I really encourage getting on the phone with someone if you can. Or in person is best, but I think in today's culture, sometimes that's not the reality. You know, you're talking to people you don't know. So if it's somebody you do know, ask them in person. I know that's a challenge, but it's so worth it. And if doing it physically in person is not possible, then call them. I think there's also just a level of vulnerability that's done in that instance that makes it all the more impressive. So those are my tips for the first date. Also, you know, this is something that this is probably one of my more controversial statements or opinions, but I am on the side that you should not kiss on your first date. And here's why. Look, we sometimes greatly lessen, at least in our heads, what physicality means for a relationship. But we shouldn't. When you incorporate the physical within a relationship, it can and will cloud your judgment to some extent. So if you go on a first date with someone and, you know, sparks are flying, it's great. And at the end, you decide to make out. The next day, you know what you're going to remember in most situations? For the man, you're going to be remembering the making out. You're going to be remembering the physical, at least in most cases. For the woman, yeah, they'll remember that, but they'll remember the feeling of being with that man, the intimacy that was attributed to that physicality. Now you've clouded your judgment, because what you're remembering is the physical and not the actual conversation, not the actual person. Now, there's nothing wrong with liking kissing, with liking that aspect of a relationship. And you know what, a peck on the cheek or something like that, you know, if that's your first date move, by all means, I think I'm okay with that. But it's when the physical becomes the center point, especially of a first date, I think you've lost it. You've lost them, because what they're remembering is that, and they're not remembering the person. And you want your judgment to not be clouded at all. Because what if the date was terrible? What if the conversation was very bland, boring, you know, and you leave there and you go home and your friend asks you, how did the date go? And you're like, he's a good kisser. Okay, but what about him? What about him as a person? I don't know. He was fine. You going to go on a second date? Yeah, he's a good kisser. That's not going to get you anywhere. So my thought, don't kiss on your first date. Like I said, peck on the cheek, fine, but don't. Physicality does not need to be there. And of course, I don't think it needs to be said, but I'll say it anyway. That also means anything else outside of kissing should also not be on there. So don't go any further than that in any dating, but most especially on the first date. You know, if a guy is trying to sleep with you on their first date, that is a red flag, red flag, red flag. Or if a woman is trying to sleep with you on the first date, that is a red flag, red flag, red flag. So yeah, just be smart on that first date. And actually, you know, a tip that I would suggest is don't kiss them before you're dating. Now, I say this, I haven't always followed this rule. I kissed a girl one time that I eventually dated. I was eventually dating her, but I kissed her first before then. And I didn't kiss her after that until we were dating. But I remember regretting that. So just like I said, the same points go with this. It just clouds your judgment. And let physical affection mean something. That's so important. Physical affection needs to mean something. It needs to not just be use, but make it worthwhile. So if you're kissing someone, let it mean something. Don't let physicality cloud your judgment. When do I talk about a second date? This is the next question, and I really like this one because I think it's simple. I had a friend who was recently talking to me, and they went on a date with a guy, and it went well. And the guy continued to talk to them. And yet, it was a week later, and they still hadn't been asked out on a second date. Multiple opportunities, and it just kind of had them thinking, what is going on? Well, eventually, the person told them that they weren't interested in a second date, which is good. I'm proud to say that eventually, that person got around to closing the door. But should have happened earlier, in my opinion. So when it comes to a second date, I'd say ask that night if it goes really well. You know, if you drove the person, if you're the guy and you drove them to the restaurant and you're driving them back to their place, ask them in the car, you know, on that, say, hey, I had a lot of fun. Would you like to do this again? And see what happens. Or, you know, if they, of course, today's podcast is sponsored by The Catholic Company. The Catholic Company is a one-stop shop for all your Catholic needs, from rosaries to books to clothing. The Catholic Company has it all. Use the code in the show notes to get 20% off your order. Yeah, ask them on the drive home. But if they end up not saying, or it, ask them on the way home. Or secondarily, ask them the next day. You know, give it a night, think about it, and then ask them the next day if you're interested in a second date. And I think it, of course, it's in the court of the man to ask. But if you're the woman and you're really interested, you can say the things that are necessary to make the man know. Hey, do you want to do this again? That was a lot of fun. Or, hey, I had a lot of fun tonight. I hope to see you again. Simple things like that. Make it known to the person, your intentions and your desires. And then the guy can ask. And you can also ask without asking. Like I said, you can say, hey, we should do this again. That was a lot of fun. He then has to say, yeah, I would like that. Or no, I don't think so. You know, it's that easy. Okay. Next question. This is, again, this is kind of all over the place, but how do I break up with someone, especially when I know they didn't do something wrong? So how do I break up with someone when they've done something wrong? That's real. How oftentimes are we in a relationship? And maybe, hopefully for all of you, this isn't the case, but you're dating someone and they cheat on you, or they have a temper and they yell at you. They say mean things. They ghost you. They don't talk to you for a week. you know, these are all pretty obvious things to say, you know, this is not a good relationship. I need to break this off. But how oftentimes are we in those relationships? Kind of like the one I talked about in the first episode. I talked about a nice woman I dated out of college. She was great. She is great. I care about her. She's still a friend of mine. But in terms of for me, she wasn't for me. And I think you end it by being honest. Now, I mentioned this in the first episode. There's things that I feel like I haven't done right always in dating. This situation I probably could have handled better. But the reality is breakups are never easy. And you're never going to walk away feeling great about it. If you do, that's really weird. And then you two are very much probably just telling you guys that you both just weren't for each other. You know, if you can walk away from a relationship amiably and it's, you know, patting each other on the back, it's like, wow, what a gift. But that's not the case in most situations. Instead, you're finding yourself having to be honest with the person and it's going to hurt. My thought is be honest, do it in person, and be willing to answer questions if they have them, but do not put them in that spot where they have to ask them if they don't want to. So what I mean by that is, you know, give them the space to think, to talk, but at the same time, don't overdo it. If that makes sense. You know, I think for myself, I remember being broken up with before. And one of the hardest things was the person that broke it off didn't really ever give me the space to talk about it. It was tough because I felt like in me asking for that, I was inconveniencing them. And it just didn't seem fair because we had been in a relationship, we cared about each other, and all of a sudden that was all being thrown to the side. And I wasn't being given the opportunity to share how I felt or ask the questions that I wanted to ask. So please give the person that space. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with being firm. And there's also nothing wrong if you need to say it, just saying, I don't like you like that. That is a real reason to end a relationship, especially one that's good on paper. You know, the way I describe it oftentimes is you're not able to love that person the way that you know that you're capable of loving someone. If you're in a relationship and you cannot love the person the way that you know you're capable of loving someone, then that probably tells you something along the lines of this is not the right relationship. And that's important to know. So that's my tips there on how to break up. All right, next question. How do you know that the person you're dating is the one? I kind of spoke a little bit about this, you know, talking about, you know, entering into the vocation of marriage, but I don't think you ever really know other than you just have to kind of know yourself and you have to look at what you're looking for. And if they check those boxes, you're making a plunge no matter what. There's a lot of unknowns that come with marriage, but, trusting your gut, trusting your discernment is probably a better phrase than trusting your gut. You know, from a Catholic perspective, trusting your discernment, you know, if you've been in the relationship, you've grown in holiness while you've been with this person, they make you want to be better. Trust that and move forward. Okay. This is a good question. Tips for someone who's never dated. How do I live in this space of never dating? Well, if you've never dated and you want to date, the first thing that I think you need to do first is lean into your relationship with God. Speak to him about this. Be honest with him. Say, Lord, this is weird. I'm 20-something years old. I'm 30-something years old. I've never dated and I want to. Why is that? Listen to him. Talk to him. He'll have answers. They might not be as audible as you'd like, but I promise you there's answers. And he's going to speak to your heart. He's going to say things along the lines of, I know what I'm doing. I have a plan for you. Do you trust me? I need you to trust me in this. And then from there, he's going to fill your heart with the things that you need in this moment to be the best person that you're called to be. He's going to fulfill your dreams in that moment. And it might not be through a relationship. But in terms of how do you get to go on a date, you know, maybe you're just like, look, I've never dated. I don't have the most confidence in the world. I'm not the most beautiful person in the world. Maybe these are just the common things that are stopping me. That's where I say you got to put yourself out there. You know, if your friends are having a house party, you need to go, even if that's not the comfortable setting for you. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to go to this house party and find your spouse, but you're not going to find them sitting at home reading a book, even if that is your space. Online dating is actually a really helpful tool for people who lack confidence. It gives them a chance to say their words with the keyboard, which allows for, you know, the ability to type out something and then edit it. So there's goodness there. So if you just lack confidence and need a little help, online dating might be a really good avenue for you. But in terms of trying to meet someone in person, you got to put yourself out there. And then also setups are great. My wife and I were set up. I highly suggest setups. And if your friends are as good of friends as you think they are, hopefully they have someone for you. All right. This next question. I'm an average size guy and I am a nerd. Would anyone want to date me? Yes. Yes, my friend, they would. Because everyone's different and there's beauty in that. Look, I am not the smartest person in the world. I will be the first to admit that. I tell my wife at least once a week, she is way smarter than me. She's an engineering major from Clemson. She probably had like a 3.8 GPA. I mean, she's just really, really smart. And yet we've worked out. Because my character is what she's drawn to. We have enough similarities. I can talk about most things, even if I'm not the smartest guy. We had a moment the other day where she had to laugh at me. I was under the impression that Jerusalem was on the continent of Africa, not realizing it was the continent of Asia. I'm not dumb. I just didn't realize it. I knew where it was located on a map, relatively, but she said, nope, that's not Africa. This is who I am. Sorry, hate to break it to you. So when you're, you know, saying I'm an average guy, I'm a nerd, that's okay. This again goes with that question that we talked about earlier. He or she is out of my league in episode one. Guess what? Eventually, those things are going to matter a whole lot less. You just have to find the people that, you know, are like you and find someone who can better appreciate who you are. If somebody doesn't like you because you're a nerd or you're, you know, an average size man, you're not ripped or 6'5", that person's not for you anyway. You want someone who appreciates you. So stop looking to those people who can't appreciate you. All right, I've got two more questions here and then we'll wrap it up. So firstly, how far is too far? All right, this question I kind of hit on a little bit when I was talking about kissing, but reality is that's a terrible way to frame a question anyway when it comes to sexuality within the relationship. It is supposed to be life-giving when you're in marriage, and it is supposed to be unitive. But within dating, it's different. You're not trying to have a child. You shouldn't be trying to have a child. That's not what sexuality is intended for. It's not intended for dating. So too far is when it becomes lustful, when it becomes selfish. And you know what this looks like. Now you can justify it however you want, but you know, when you're in a relationship and you are, you know, going too far within kissing, you know, where your kissing has become, you know, your hands start going places they're not supposed to. You start, you know, doing things that you're not supposed to. Clothes start being taken off. You know, all those things are pretty obvious. This is too far. It's the wrong question. You know, you shouldn't be needing to ask that question. It's how can I show this person respect and love? I understand those temptations are there. They're real. You know, the the desire to be intimate with someone, it's real. I've been there. I understand. But we have to fight that. And so you just have to put yourself in the right situations. You know, don't lead yourself to that near occasion to sin. Instead, flee from it. If that means, you know, if you find yourself sinning when you're in your car or the car of the person you're dating, you know, and you're like, well, I parked my car out in the field, and you know, all of a sudden things just got out of hand. It's like, well, okay, no offense, but I don't think we needed Sherlock Holmes to figure that one out. You know, it was pretty easy to figure out. So, you know, look at things like that. Don't put yourself in those situations, and be honest with one another. Talk about it. Talk about your struggles, and that will certainly help. All right, the last one I have for this second part, and then we'll be done here. And I thank anyone who submitted questions. These have been really good. I really enjoy doing this with you guys. How do I move past the sexual sins that I've committed? How do I move past my past? How do I get over those things so that I can enter freely into a relationship? Relationships and dating is hard. But I think we have to remember what we're actually called to. We're called to be holy. So I think this is the frame of mind we need to go to. We need to look at ourselves. If we're really struggling within relationships, a good bit of advice is stop what you're doing and be holy. You know, work on yourself if you need to. If you are working on yourself, you're going to find healing within those things. Of course, turn to the sacraments. But eventually, hopefully, you're going to get to the point where you find a guy who's worthy of you. Within my own relationship, I remember I've said this to my wife a couple times. You know, my issue was I felt like I couldn't get a woman to stay with me. You know, I would date and I'd try to love the person really well, and yet the relationships kept ending. And for her, it was more that she needed someone who would commit in a real sense. You know, dating does not need to be taken too seriously, but at the same time, the age of casualness needs to end. Because if we're really seeing it for what it is, we should get past that reality. So the Lord forgives you when you go to confession. You need to remember that with your sexual sins. God forgives you. So you need to forgive yourself. He wants you to know that you are loved and you are not your sin. And within your relationship, at some point, just be honest with the person you're dating. There will come a point where you'll want to do that. I'm not saying date one, say, hey, here's the list of sins I've committed. No, but when you get to a level of comfort and knowing and trusting the person, you know, you can share some of those things. You don't have to do it in detail. Each relationship's different, but do it to a point where it's helpful for you. And just lean in, trust that the Lord is going to work in that and lean into his mercy. All right. Well, now I am going to stop there. That's a lot of questions. It's a lot of talking. Again, I hope anyone who's at home listening to this enjoyed what they heard. I hope you enjoyed my answers. If you have any follow-up, I'd love to hear it. So please send me an email at gottabesaints@gmail.com or send me a DM on Instagram. Tell me what you thought. Look forward to hearing from you. Thanks again for listening. Send this to your friends who might be interested. Again, let's thank our sponsors. Use code GBS at thecatholiccompany.com or code GBS at goodcatholic.com for 20% off your order. Thanks again, everyone. Have a great day and God bless. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe and check out goodcatholic.com for more details.